This is Winfrey. It's Saturday night, and another edition of, we haven't really decided if it's the Win and Don Show or the Don and Win Show.
Oh, it's definitely the Win and Don Show.
But it's been the Don and Win Show. It's still posted as the Don and Win Show. And, of course, this is Winfrey, and my co-host, Don Newsom. Don is the founder of BBS Radio. And for those of you that have been finding all this great programming and uplifting news and all the news that, what is the theme of BBS Radio, Don? All the news that doesn't go anywhere else, right?
What is the theme for 100?
For 100?
If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.
That's right. If it's not on mainstream, it's not on BBS. So,
yeah, well, something like that.
On BBS tonight, you're going to hear things that you probably wouldn't find on mainstream radio. And we have some special guests, but before we bring our guests on, Doc, you are... our preamble, where sometimes we argue, sometimes we discuss, and sometimes we're just the best of friends. We never know how it's going to go on the Don and Win Show or the Win and Don Show.
We don't even know the show name.
We don't even know the show name. But for whatever reason, you guys keep tuning in. I can't understand why, but we're going to share an hour with you of whatever comes next.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm actually right now in Washington State, of course. We got a heck of a storm going on here, a blizzard. Snow everywhere. It's quite beautiful.
Those of you who have been regulars on our show know Hildy, who is Don's mother, and Don is visiting his mother, right, in Washington State.
That's right.
And how's Hildy? Is she listening to us tonight, Don?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She is?
Absolutely.
Hi, Hildy. Now, Hildy sent us an email after last week's show, and she said, can you guys find something more interesting? She didn't say this, but this was implied. She was saying, can't you guys talk about what happened to you this week, the previous week, instead of having all these crazy dolphins on?
She did.
Well, she didn't say instead of, but she implied that maybe there was something more important than
dolphins
to talk about. But you know what? We're going to have more of dolphins this week. Tonight's show is really part two of last week's show. If you remember last week's show, we had these two beautiful young people on, Samuel and Ashley. And Samuel and Ashley were both in their low 20s. And they both are what I would call, I think they're crystal children. They're both very evolved and aware. And their mother took them to dolphin school, okay?
Right.
Because there's a woman by the name of Linda Shea that has a school for, I won't say for dolphins, because dolphins don't go to school. Maybe they travel in schools, but the idea of dolphins...
Aren't dolphins, aren't they traveling in herds? Don't they call a group of dolphins a herd?
I don't know. We'll talk to an expert in just a moment. But the thing about dolphins is that it seems like they know how to play. Their whole life is based on fun and play. And when people go to dolphin school, they get better at learning how to have fun and playing. And our guests tonight, we have two guests, Diane and Wesley Swale, who are the mother and father of the folks that were on last week, Ashley and Samuel. And they're the ones that started this dolphin thing with their kids. And I think it's quite interesting because I think Diane in particular might be actually a dolphin consciousness in the human body. And she is one of the most fun people I've ever met. You can see just as we're going into the show, Don, you know, you feel that energy of fun in the air.
Oh, overwhelming. It's bloody overwhelming.
Even Don and I are having fun. And we don't even have our guests on yet. They're there waiting, but they're listening. They're probably panting, when do we talk? But, and you know, Don and I don't always have fun. Sometimes we're very serious. We butt heads. It's probably because we have a butt head part of our consciousness. And then we have a dolphin part of our consciousness. And maybe Don is more dolphin than I am because he likes to have fun. He's usually, you know.
Oh, I'm definitely dolphin.
You're definitely dolphin?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes he's drinking a beer while we're on the show.
With the amount I drink, I'd be considered some sort of a fish. Dolphin's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think, that, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of very serious issues happening on our planet. We have a dimensional shift. We have a world that's falling apart. We have a negative elite that's screwing everything up. We have a terrible environment. We have the threat of all kinds of...
Actually, you know, I think it's all pretty good. You know, I really do. I think the environment's okay. I don't see much... I mean, I see pollution, which is caused by many criminal corporations and many in the upper echelons trying to cover it up. But really, the main ills of this world are corrupt and greedy bankers with the IMF, WHO. Of course, you have the Bilderberg Group, which really, I think, most any time when an organization secretly tries to run other people's lives, I think it's a criminal organization. And that would extend also to, as we all know, the CFR. Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And, you know, I mean, that extends through most of the organized bodies that are political in nature and governing or governmental-type bodies. And it's unfortunate because that corruption is seeded by a few sickos that have got people to unknowingly and maybe a few to knowingly go along with their extermination agenda and their globalist agenda, and otherwise the world's a beautiful place. The world's beautiful. We've got not only beautiful people, but a lot of the world is clean, is beautiful, is crisp. You have many, I think, many forms of cultures throughout the world that are fantastic. I see the world as a beautiful place. It's just unfortunate that there's some sick wackos destroying it. And all we have to do, I think, as a people, is to bring them before justice and hang them. Mm-hmm. Well, hang them out to dry. I mean, whether that, I'll leave that up to everybody's imagination. But, you know, these criminals got to go. And so, we'll have our beautiful planet back.
And in the meantime, we got to have fun.
And exactly.
And a lot of people have trouble having fun because, for one thing, they're worried about paying their bills. And almost everybody today is, you know, working really hard to maintain a certain standard of living, and they get so hard, you know, so focused on working that life becomes all about work, and there's not much fun left in that.
Well, to maintain a standard of living based on most often things
and ways that they
consumerism believe
that they need to, things they need to have from watching television. If they don't have it, they can't have fun. The problem is they're working so hard to have these things that they have no time to have fun
and to enjoy.
So,
exactly.
So, with that, let's introduce Diane. And Diane is in Mountain View, California. And I've known Diane for quite some time now. She's been one of the people that has been a regular on our conference calls. And she is a person that, in general, to the best of my perception, understands fun, and I think she believes she learned it somewhat from identifying with the part of her that had her inner dolphin, so to speak. So, Diane, are you listening?
Yes, I am, Lynn.
Am I saying it right?
Yes, you are. We've been giggling in the wings.
Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Pleasure to have you with us.
And hello, say hello to Wesley, too, Diane's husband.
Hi, Wesley.
Hey, Dawn. Hey, Lynn.
Good to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I hope you didn't mind my little short juggernaut, but I always like to remind people that we have a bunch of criminals in government and they need to be removed. And I emphasize that quite often only because that's the biggest part of why we're here, to get rid of these criminals. But other than that...
Well, we appreciate the illumination.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a big part of my life. I see this... The political system going down the toilet. I saw the CNN debates that were probably the one of the biggest farce. I mean, it was a mockery. It was a mockery of a presidential debate. And I'm just stunned. I'm truly stunned that YouTube, Google went and got on board with them in this mockery of a debate. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen of any debate I've ever watched in all my days, because it was such a misrepresentation of the facts. It was such a misrepresentation of what the people were truly trying to ask, and it was just a complete and utter train wreck.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't talk about udders, because we're not going into cows, we're going into dolphins. So, Diane. Is Diane clear to you, Don? Can you hear her okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It may not sound totally clear. I'm recovering from laryngitis, so I'll do my best.
Now, the good news is, or the bad news is, since she's recovering from laryngitis, she may not be able to do her dolphin communication. Okay? Last week, her kids were talking to us in dolphinese. You know, Don, we had a dolphin on our show, remember?
That's right.
The dolphin that spoke to everybody?
Yeah, it was that vegetable dolphin.
Bok choy.
Right.
Maybe we'll have bok choy on next week. And bok choy is the psychic dolphin that can actually answer questions from Dolphin Fun Dolphin Psychic Perception. But Diane, tell us about dolphin consciousness from you, who have gone to dolphin school and might be a dolphin consciousness in a human body.
Okay, it's a wide spectrum of energy. That really and truly has transformed my life. Starting with the energy of flow, which connects everything that I do in so much more of a smooth way. Dolphins are all about joy, bubbles, play, fun, dancing, and I think that having that, connected with that energy in my life has enhanced every part of my life, in all my relationships with Wesley, with my children, with friends and family, and anybody I know. It just seems to... It's like it greases the wheels of everything, lubrication, if you will, and makes it more palatable. For me, it's you know, the dolphins have brought this gift to the planet. We've been so fortunate to have connected with this school. And this flow is like what we're moving into, which is the fourth dimension. And the dolphins already live like that. So, I mean, that maybe isn't just a kind of a quick overview, but I guess the main points that I would say that the frequency is about is joy, movement, creating flow, love, abundance, and then the big one, the opening of the heart like never before. And your heart space just grows. And it's amazing how your life changes when that happens.
Well, dolphins themselves, you know, obviously they're sea creatures. And hang on a second. And many people believe that dolphins have somewhat similar to human consciousness, even though they're fish or they're in the water, okay?
Uh-huh.
Obviously, they don't write and they don't talk and they don't have literature. They don't go to the movies. So how do the dolphins express flow and love in their natural habitat?
How do they express the flow of love?
How do they express flow and love in their natural habitat? And how is it something that we can learn from to express flow and love in the human habitat, which is different than a dolphin habitat?
Okay. Well, you're right. They're very intelligent. They're one of the most intelligent creatures on the planet. Spinner dolphins, I believe, are way up there. But even other...
Is there, like, IQ figures you could give a dolphin? Like, say, okay, a dolphin would be 86 IQ.
That would be very interesting to know.
Wouldn't it?
I don't know.
All types of dolphins are still far, far beyond humans, so...
Now, do we know that? Or is that just guessing because we're spiritual and we understand that from our spiritual readings and writings and understandings? Or is it really true?
Are
they way smarter than humans?
They are. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different...
Or is that... we don't know that as a fact, though, do we?
Well, actually, we do.
Do we?
You know, it was channeled information that has come through, in fact, a workshop that Wynn held not long ago, where I asked a question about the dolphins and the dolphin consciousness. And it said specifically, actually, I have it here, the dolphins have a delightful consciousness, and they're able to communicate using various tones. They are very intelligent. And these attunements will help as you move into higher dimensions. Dimensions use these skills that the dolphins use in everyday life.
Right.
So,
Diane, let me interrupt here. I know that Don is going to say, you mean because channeled information says they're intelligent, we're supposed to believe it. I mean, Don... You know, as probably half of his shows are channeled, and of course his co-host has conversations with the other dimensions all the time. But Don, I know Don's thinking, and he would say, "Well, just because it's channeled, I don't know why I should believe it." I mean, are there indications? Are there ways that dolphins demonstrate intelligence? Like, for example, if a dog is intelligent—not to compare a dog to a dolphin—but a dog can be trained. You know, they can be really, really sharp tricks.
We can give, like, an ape. We can take an ape, right, in a science project, let's say, or a form of orangutan or something. We can say, okay, their IQ's, I would say, around 68, 70. You see what I mean? I think they actually can give a value, an IQ value, to certain specific animals. I just don't know if they've done that for dolphins. I'm just curious. I mean, is there some sort of an IQ figure that would say that a dolphin's, if a human's average IQ, 120 or whatever, the dolphin's IQ, according to tests, would show that it's superior at solving problems and superior at answering questions, superior at understanding what you're trying to tell it, and therefore, after all these tests, we give it an IQ figure of 180. I'm just curious.
You know what would be an interesting test? If I was going to try to design a test for a dolphin and
right.
a human, I would make this maze up. I'd stick a human in a maze and see how long it took him to figure out how to get out of it, okay? Then I put the same maze in water and put a dolphin in it to see how long
it took the dolphin.
Yeah, in other words, you know, something that actually, I mean, if you're actually trying to make a measure of...
Oh, I agree. You'd have to measure it in a way that isn't human exclusive.
Right. But that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
But that's a way, like the kind of description I'm giving
would be
intelligent. Now, you know, where I don't know, there's probably nothing like that that's ever been done, though. Has there, Diane?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm looking on the internet here, and there is quite a bit, but I didn't prepare for this. But there's actually quite a bit about dolphins, and it mentions IQ tests here. It says, well, part of it is they go into what is intelligence. So it's kind of hard to start opening up too wide. I'm not really sure if they can... Yeah, I don't think I can answer the question. I have to read the material and process it, and by the time I was able to do that, the show will be over. But it's a good question anyway.
There are scientists
with dolphins for sure testing their intelligence.
Sure.
Well, I
believe they're highly intelligent. I don't know if they're how intelligent they are, but I would believe they're highly, highly intelligent.
Now, I know I read one time that the dolphins were like, took incarnations in this realm to help ground the grid lines, that they have a very high receptivity to other dimensional energies. And the fact that they're here, and you know, they operate in group consciousness, they operate in pods, so they all are interlinked and telepathic with each other.
Right.
And, that when, you know, anytime that exists, there's the potential for the group energy to tap into higher dimensions. And I read that one a couple of times years ago, stuck in my mind. But, you know, I don't have any, you know, that, again, that's not something you can prove because you can't even prove that with humans, that humans do that, although I know it's true. It's like if you were talking to a scientist, he would say, how do you know that? You know? Well, I can feel energy. You know, we do all these group meditations. And, I mean, you know, when we call in the light at the end, there's times when you feel the energy, and it's really unmistakable. So you know it's true, but if you're trying to talk to a scientist, you know.
Well, now, a dolphin. Let's say a dolphin can see. It's got two eyes. It obviously sees. But does it also see with its sonar? You know what I mean? Does when it bounces its sounds, does it, I mean, not only use its sounds to communicate with other dolphins, but I guess, does it use it in a way that it bounces off various objects so it can give a distance, or instead of just seeing it with its eyes, it actually gives it a distance to what's around it and a shape?
Yes, that's very true, and also... The way the dolphins operate, they're in a state of sentience, which means that they are accessing their perception, their awareness, and their sensitivity. A key acutely. So it's, I mean, to the point where they know each other's heartbeat. They even can tell who's swimming up beside them by their heartbeat. And or one of their podmate happens to be, you know, going through something traumatic, they feel it in their right away. They get the readout in
the
heart.
Isn't that amazing?
The heart, or they feel the joy, or whatever's going on.
Wow.
So no separation from the minute they're born to the minute they leave this planet. They live in pods. No privacy whatsoever.
Now, you know, Don, there's another aspect of dolphins that I know you're really going to like. You know what that is?
They have a big tail?
No. Dolphins love sex.
That's what I meant.
They're very uninhibited. In fact, in a dolphin pod, apparently, you know, they all share and share alike, and they don't care who's watching, and, you know, they have fun. I think Diane told me they're having fun 95% of the time. Probably the other 5% are running tuna fishermen.
Oh, so they have this pod and they just intermix? Or do they have a lifetime mate?
They will have sex multiple times a day with multiple partners, and there's no shame. There's purity, there's innocence. You know, it's like connecting to your inner child. They're in that all the time. And sex is just another expression of that. They love pleasuring each other. And quite remarkable.
Yeah.
A remarkable thing. And I maybe that's why they represent unity community so well. Because
we can learn a lot from them.
Yeah, no separation.
Get together in pods.
Comparison and competition, and, you know.
Don, is your wife listening to this show?
I don't know.
So, Wesley.
I love dolphins. I must tell you, I've always been enamored by them. Don't know why. I've always felt kind of akin to them. I'm not strange enough to, but I don't know. Anyway.
Well, let's have Diane's husband share a little bit. I don't know if I definitely know from knowing Diane that there's something different about her,
mm-hmm.
and that she is like, if she's sitting at a table, they were actually driving through L.A. and we all had dinner the other night, and Diane is like the life of the table. I mean, when she's at the table, she's got everyone giggling. She has a way when she looks at people. There's all this playfulness in her eyes. And, I mean...
Now, Diane and Wes, the two kids that were on before...
They're the parents.
Pardon me? They're the parents of the children that were on before, the kids that were on before, right?
Right, right.
Sorry.
And, when Diane tells me that, you know, she thinks she's got a dolphin consciousness in a human body... And I'm around her, and I've experienced her. I can say that it's like it's different. There's a different aspect to her than I don't know if I've ever experienced anyone.
Do you try to emulate the dolphins in any way?
Do I? Me?
No, Wes and Diane.
You know, it's kind of just come out of me naturally.
So there's no hanky panky going on.
I have, and you know, guidelines, and you know, I function pretty normal, I guess, on this planet. I have one husband and I have children, you know. But when the school, you know, was formed, each class that graduates is a pod, and we're connected to those people. And really, for me, it was the merging of my human consciousness with the dolphin.
Interesting. Wesley, are you
yes,
there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wesley, why don't you share with us your experience of being married to a woman that thinks she's a dolphin consciousness in a human body?
Sure. Well, first of all, Diane's, to some degree, always been the way she is. I've known her since I was in high school in Toronto, Canada. In ninth grade is when I met her. And she's always had a type of a unique kind of energy and joyfulness and positiveness in her expression and kind of rejoicing about, and sometimes you'd wonder what exactly she's rejoicing about, because you might not, I personally might not really understand it or see it, and couldn't always keep up energetically with her enthusiasm. And it was quite a few years later, it was in the last 3 or 4 years that Diane started having, she was doing some meditations, shamanic work, and she started having experiences with dolphins in her meditations, riding them, different ways they were communicating with her, and she started telling me that she's having these dolphin experiences. And
have you been out to, like, explore that with, you know, maybe going out to some of these major aquariums or going to some of these areas where you may be able to experience that?
We have. In fact, I'll let you, Diane, tell you about the experience, but we've both done that. But prior to that, that's more recent, she got in touch with Linda in this dolphin school, and I attended as well, but I, you know, if you asked me why I was there, and they did, everyone kind of spoke, you know, in a group, this class, while you're there, I said I was there because Diane was really gung-ho about the dolphins, and you know, and I was open, but not, you know, I had no real inner connection the way that she did. I was more kind of curious. The school lasts, it's 6 weekends. It was over 18 months that you know, they were spaced out with a few months in between each of the attunements to kind of integrate the energy that is present during the weekends. And over that time, I developed my own relationship with the dolphins. Not to say that I don't think I am necessarily had the same kind of background. I believe probably in a past life Diane has lived as a dolphin. I'm not sure that was ever part of my history or whatever. I still have a great friendship, and I have a kind of a connection with the dolphin consciousness, but I don't have quite the same.
Does she remember the pod she was in and the name that she was given?
No. I'm saying I believe she is a past. You can ask her if she does. I haven't heard about her consciously connecting to that past. It's kind of come more organic through her human experience, where kind of without prompting or any real reason to be connected to dolphins, she's started connecting with dolphins and expressing that. So
now, would you think
let her talk about the dolphin experience, direct experience, if you're interested in that.
Sure. Well, do you feel that maybe there would be some sort of a creature that would be similar to the dolphin, not in the ocean, like let's say of the skies, like let's say, okay, we have the dolphins in the oceans, and their equivalent in the sky would be the parrot.
That could very well be. There's a lot of people have connected with a lot of different energies that are of the animal kingdom.
Right.
And, so I'm, you know, really largely through this experience with the dolphins, I was much more kind of traditional, kind of worldly thinking. Kind of within the box a little more, but in this time, I've met people and heard expressions, and obviously there are people who connect with different kind of animal kingdom spirits or animal kingdom energies, if you will. But again, my experience back to Wynn's question was originally kind of a little bit skeptical, not really understanding what she's talking about, not understanding how we could be going to a dolphin school but not physically meeting dolphins. We did it up in Sedona and in Phoenix, Arizona, and, you know, but over the time, the experience I had with the people was quite unique, that the dolphins have imparted teaching techniques, practice, group practices, what they call life skills that the pod practices together, and they're quite advanced and quite they show a lot of positive. I mean, we had a lot of positive effects in our lives, in our communications as a couple, in our relationship with our children, who were young adults, as a result of that experience. And as well, they also, during these weekends, they imparted a what they called an attunement. And there was a different attunement for each weekend, and those were what they, the dolphin consciousness, which is a group consciousness of all the dolphins, both physical and spirit dolphins, because they are able to connect either through multidimensional, omnidimensional. In any case, they would send, as a dolphin conscious, would send an attunement, which is a vibrational adjustment we would have to accept and receive, and it, I'm convinced, has changed the way we act as humans in terms of some of the other vibrations, say, like anger is one that I had much more often, and it's quite rare where circumstances in this world can bring me to a place where I'm expressing anger. That was not the case 3-4 years ago. And I'd be frustrated or even fear, things that, you know, I would react to with fear. It's much, much rarer that those type of kind of base, if you could say negative, human emotions are expressing. And I see a large part of that is the connection with the dolphin consciousness.
Interesting. Leslie, how does a dolphin respond? Say if another dolphin in the pod is attacked or killed, or there's a hostile action towards.
Well, they're very interesting. Like, for example, I've heard a lot of different stories, and I've looked at different videos and that on the dolphins. For example, I was told a story about a pod of dolphins swimming along, and a hammerhead shark was coming up behind them. And the pod simply split and gave the hammerhead shark space, and it went through, and then they came back together. But I've also seen videos and heard and read about dolphins that if a shark were to be in a hunting mode in the environment of the pod where the pod felt threatened, they're very advanced in terms of their hunting skills and their teamwork. They operate similar to how you might experience a wolf pack, and they kill sharks. They have the ability to bludgeon them to death through swimming into their jamming into their the shark's gills with their pointed nose. So they're not out there hunting sharks for food. They usually hunt schools of fish, and even when they do that, they'll encircle the fish by swimming in circles all around them and get the school all in a frenzy and a tighter and tighter ball, and then they swim straight through the ball with their mouths open and swallow a bunch of fish on the way. So they're quite advanced. But they're definitely able to protect themselves. They're quite powerful animals, even though they're very loving and peaceful. And there's been stories of people lost at sea who were saved by dolphins, and having no particular a person just fell off a boat or whatever, had no relationship particularly to the dolphins, ended up being protected by dolphins at sea.
Mm-hmm. So you would not call them nonviolent necessarily.
No, they have a great. First of all, they're powerful. Like we did swim with some dolphins, and they jump out of the water, 10 feet out of the water, they weigh at least 200 to 300 pounds. And to see them, you know, come flying out of the water, 10 feet out of the water, and, you know, do a flip, they're just amazingly powerful animals. And they have very, you know, they have significant, you know, big chunky teeth. They are carnivores, and they're very able to defend themselves and do so. But they, like I say, I've also heard that they tend to avoid that that confrontation unless it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the movie Flipper? Do you remember that movie?
I remember seeing Flipper as a child. I remember it was a TV show more than a movie, but.
I mean, I do. Speaking of intelligence, I remember that movie, and I remember the dolphin certainly was very, very intelligent. And not only that, it had emotions, similar like to a dog has emotions. You know,
you would think by now, though, that we have been able to interpret many, many, many of the dolphin sounds. I would have to say that there must be someone who's cataloged a lot of their speech patterns, or would I be wrong?
No, that could very well be. I personally, because we came to this relationship with the dolphins more from a metaphysical bend than a scientific bend, we probably have more metaphysical information about dolphins than, say, kind of the scientific. But I believe you're probably right. There's probably an awful lot of scientific data.
Yeah.
Regarding the dolphins and their abilities to communicate and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, it must be pretty high because they do use them in a lot of military experiments, especially ones that require a high degree of intelligence and precision.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Wow, all right. So we got the dolphin family on today.
That's right.
Wes and Diane.
If anyone has any questions that's listening that would like to ask, please call us, and
I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
We might be taken in the call-in line.
Oh, we might be. If you want to try. What's the number, Don?
I'm pretty sure they're taking up the call-in line.
Okay.
We won't be able to do calls today. I'm almost certain of it.
No more calls today. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, won't be able to take calls today.
if Hildy's listening, she could go upstairs and say, Don, ask them this. Are you upstairs, Don?
No.
Are you in your own room and everyone else is in another room?
Yep. I'm all alone.
You see how well we interact when you're all by yourself and you don't have other people around you? I think when you do the Don and Wynn show, you should find some place to go to away from Seth. And I'll bet the show would be better.
Yeah, Seth, he can certainly ruin it, can he? No, I'm joking.
it's not that he ruins it.
It's the noise in the background that you
well,
like
it's
to
not, it's
from.
Not just the noise in the background. It's like, you know, in my way of...
You hear that, Seth?
It has to do with being in your own hologram. You know, when you're in your engineering room where all your shows are taking place...
Right.
You have so much energy.
No, I'm the only one there who's in there, though.
But you have all the energy of all the shows that are going in and out of there.
Oh, yeah.
You have some powerful shows, and you're a terminal for those shows. So you're anchoring all the holograms of everyone through that little room and then putting it out on the Internet. When you do your own show, you have to get away. I mean, my opinion is if you got away from those holograms and got into a room that didn't have that energy in it, we would do a better show.
True, but I'm the only one there on Saturday.
I know. Well,
so it's kind of difficult.
Maybe Seth will come in for an hour when the Don and Wynn show is going on, you know?
On a Saturday? Yeah, you know, I might be able to get him to do that every now and again.
Does he live near there? He lives near there, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if he can get away from his wife and his newborn baby. But, I mean, I'm just saying we'll do a better show. Because when you are into your own space, you are... You know, you're thinking on your feet, you're intelligent, you know, you're there. But when you, so often we do the show, it's like your consciousness is like Swiss cheese, and then you're trying to be there, and it becomes awkward because we can't get in. We can't get into what dolphins call flow. Okay,
flow.
And you know, if we don't get into flow, our show sounds dumb.
What's flow spelled backwards?
Flow is wolf. Is that wolf?
Yeah.
There we go. That's a new one. Flow spelled backwards is wolf, which is fear, right? If you're afraid of wolves, flow spelled backwards. You know, I had all these words spelled backwards, like God is dog, evil is live, devil is lived. Now there's another one. Flow is wolf. Now, that's interesting. Of course, I don't know what to make of it, except just.
I've always believed. You know, I used to have these. You know, if I were to pick out totems or animals or something to identify myself with, I'd always pick out the bear, the eagle, and the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, I used to think I'd pick out the, you know, I probably should have had the dolphin in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Fine with me. So, Wesley.
I like fish.
Have you learned something from your wife about play and fun?
I've learned a ton, actually. So what used to be, earlier in our relationship, I would be worrying about things or upset about things, money. She doesn't worry much about stuff like that. That's just never been part of her makeup. And now she has ammunition to use. Used to be she just held the position that it was all okay, but now she can use the ammunition of her spiritual awareness and the dolphins to argue with me if we were to get to that point.
I was thinking her ammunition would be, honey, don't worry, let's have some fun.
Well, that's absolutely the way she would go about it. She wouldn't want to have any, you know, discourse about the definition of the problems and measuring it. It's not like that. She'd want to dance and you know, let go of it for a while and find a way to resolve it as you know, in some kind of energetic, positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've learned a lot about life through being around Diane.
You know, there's something I think I read this somewhere or I intuited. I can't remember, but there's a thing that when you have an orgasm, you know, I always talk about. You exist in this realm and in other dimensions, and that your body is in this realm, and that when you have an orgasm, you penetrate all the way through all the dimensions, if you have a good one, you know, a loving connection, whatever, and suddenly, for a moment, you're back in source and come back again, which is why sex is such a... can rebirth you, can make, you know, however you were feeling before, you're feeling anxiety, feeling contracted, and suddenly you have great sex, and it's all gone. It's like disappeared. It's because you recreated yourself energetically by moving through all the dimensions and coming back again, and suddenly all the things you were carrying in your body from the past are no longer there. And, I don't know if that's part of dolphin school, but Don, do you agree with that? What do you think? Is that a good way of saying it?
Yeah, I think so. Sure.
No. In fact, I think that when you shoot through all the dimensions, now this is, I didn't even ask this on a channeling, and this may be wrong, but, you know, the souls that are waiting to come in are in those dimensions. So when there's an orgasm, I think that your energy shoots through to those souls waiting to incarnate, and they can see the energy of an orgasm and say, ah, that's a good one. Or maybe they knew you in another life or they had another connection, and they can read that, and they can jump into that flow and connect with the people that are having the orgasm and start the process of having a baby.
You mean the organism's organ has an orgasm, creating another organism?
Well, I didn't understand that. But maybe someone did. I don't know.
So you believe there are other entities on the other side just watching and waiting patiently for us to have orgasms?
Well,
I'd like to think that's true.
I'm just speculating here, but, you know, I'm sure reincarnation is real. I've got enough experience to know that's true, which means somehow or another, who we are when we die continues somewhere else, and then it has to come back again. And, you know, supposedly we can make decisions about who we come back with. Actually, I read this somewhere. Of course, there's no way to know this stuff for sure. You know, they can tell you in a channeling and you can consider it. But 50% of the people that are on the other side actually choose their parents. And the other 50% just get drawn into energy flows from past, and it just, you know, they don't choose their parents. I don't remember where I heard that. I don't know if it's true. But it does make sense that if
you... You think any of them are organ donors?
Organism donors? I don't know.
I'm an orgasm donor.
You're an orgasm donor, huh?
Says it on my license.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you an organ donor?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, in one of the channelings we did, they said being an organ donor is not that great a thing to do because
I donate my organ as often as possible.
The one between your legs. Are there any takers?
Anything
out
else?
There?
I just won't part with.
Send down an email, okay? But let them know that you're open to his organ donation. And you could be our next
see
week.
If we can create some invisible looky-loos on the other side, just waiting to
right.
see it all happen.
Well, you have two kids. Maybe they were just waiting for that spurt of energy to go through all the dimensions and jump into the flow. Isn't that an interesting visual thing to consider?
You know what? I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind having a school of dolphins, having a radio station next to a school of dolphins, you know, where these big aquariums are. If we could have a radio station right in there next to the dolphin tank, I think I'd love that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Don, are you watching the clock?
The what?
Are you watching the clock?
The clock?
6:55.
Is it really?
Yeah.
We've already went through 55 minutes?
See what I mean? Dolphin consciousness, man.
No, you're kidding.
Huh?
You're kidding.
No. Seth is sitting there having, you know, ready to say, oh, my God, we got the next show
coming. It's already been 55 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Looking at my cell phone. Sprint is always right. Five. Hey, Diane.
Yes, Lynn.
You know what? I know you have laryngitis, but are you and Wesley ready to say hello in Dolphinese? You may not be able to do it. It's okay if you can't. Before we call in the light real quickly.
Okay, I'll try my best.
All right.
Well, it's not as powerful as it normally is. But.
How about you, Wesley?
I'll try, but I don't have the same... I get more of a baritone dolphin.
Okay. Are you ready, Don?
What to do what?
Well, you got pretty good last week at doing your
dolphin consciousness there, Don, and send out a dolphin call.
A dolphin call. Oh! See, that's deadly.
Hey, Don?
Lynn, I think you got to go, man. I have one else's call.
Don, that's not what you... Is there any relationship to a dolphin sound when someone has an orgasm? We're going to answer that at a future show.
Yes, okay, so remember to stay tuned for our next incredible show when we will reveal that answer to you.
And so let's call in the light real quick because it is now 6:57. Diana Wesley, would you like to share with us calling in the light?
Sure, we'd love to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each of us here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we join our consciousnesses together, those of us on this show, Diane, Wesley, Don, and Wynn, and we invite you, right at this moment, to join with us in a group consciousness in the parts of us that exist in other dimensions, and that we invite those group souls, those energies that are positive in those other dimensions, to join with this group energy we've established. And right now, take a moment of silence and let that energy come through you, and send it around our planet, to your homes, to your families, to your jobs, and to you. I'd like to invite you all to tune into our conference call, our planetary healing conference call on Monday at 6:30. And on station 2, that's 6:30 Pacific time, where we have a telephone conference actually online, and we do more of that calling in of the like group consciousness, creating planetary prayers and personal prayers of healing. With that, we are getting ready for the next show on VBS Radio, which is Zany Mystic. The schedule hasn't changed. Is that right, Don?
That's right. A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic coming up next. Again, it's always a show you want to listen to, so stick around. I'll be tuning in from Washington State. Thank you, everyone. Wes, Diane, thank you very much for being a part of this excellence in broadcasting type of a program. And we appreciate the listeners for tuning in, and I'm out of here.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Don.
Independent producer-composer Nelson Ortez. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? To get a fresh new sound? ZBS Radio is where it's at. If it's not mainstream, it's on ZBSRadio.com.